KALW.
Who wants to be a hero? It's Thor for the lead!
How about this team?
South Sudan's Olympic basketball team surprised the world. And the diaspora community in the Bay was celebrating alongside them.
I feel like basketball will be a way, like a vehicle to like unite everyone, a great way for us as a nation to come together and put our differences aside.
Then we hear how food can inspire more than an appetite.
As we're growing up, there's always these like traditional Chinese dishes we wouldn't have. And at the time when we're kids, we don't understand why we're having them. And we're like, oh, we're having this, but you don't understand the significance of it.
I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. First up today, we've got a story from our series, Diaspora Stories. The Olympics ended yesterday, and people around the world are taking stock, celebrating wins and counting their country's medals. And many diaspora and immigrant communities cheered for their countries of origin. For people from South Sudan, these games were extra special. Their basketball team's success was a surprise highlight of the games this year.
There's a lot of bumping going on out here.
Turnover. South Sudan looking for its first lead. Shea to the rim for two. Seven straight points for South Sudan. They've got their first lead of the game.
South Sudan is a new nation that gained independence just 13 years ago and is still recovering from decades of conflict. And its basketball team had a journey to the Olympics that was fraught with obstacles, including having to train in other countries because many players are refugees scattered around the world. Still, they managed to not only qualify, but to nearly beat the coveted Team USA, taking the team and coach, Steve Kerr, by surprise.
South Sudan was amazing. I did not do a great job preparing our team. I think we did not focus enough on what they're capable of, and that's on me.
The world was surprised, but Nyanwat Julia Baipat wasn't. She's a San Jose entrepreneur from South Sudan. Her community in the Bay Area is small. She estimates about 50 people. And she says they've always known how talented their players were. Nyanwat Julia came to the U.S. when she was 16, married a former basketball player turned engineer, and she's about to bring a new child into the world. So I wanted to know what this moment of Olympic fame meant for her.
So where are we? Actually, we are
at the hospital.
At the hospital.
So the husband is in Paris. He is supporting South Sudan team. And I am pregnant. I'm at the hospital right now and expecting to have a baby soon. So I have...
What did your friends bring you?
She brought me a couple of perfumes, Sudanese perfumes. Oh. It's actually recently came from Bur Sudan.
We all saw the South Sudan team at the Olympics, on the boat on the River Seine in Paris. What was that moment like for you, seeing that?
For me, to be honest, it kind of was like, gave me goosebumps to begin with. When they first played the national anthem and them coming and just seeing them. And I know I have few cousins who are playing there, and just the fact that you see someone on TV who is related to you, and not only, it's not just like a simple game, this is like a big deal, like the whole world is watching it.
He'll float it up and knock it down. It's a 2-point game.
Oh, they are not going away.
The spirited South Sudanese looking for still what would have been the biggest win in their very short program's history.
What was your feeling as you were watching when the USA and South Sudan were playing?
On the drive, long for Davis, he couldn't finish the dunk. Loose ball to Thor. Two to tie, three for the lead.
When it was 100 to 100.
How about this team?
So I wake up and I see my husband, he's watching TV. And I'm like, okay, so what's the score like now? Who's winning? And actually looking at the screen, I'm seeing like the energy. And I'm actually noticing how my husband, how excited he's getting.
South Sudan has a timeout to use and they will use it.
But as soon as they hit that mark of 100, and, you know, I was just like, okay, it's time to pray. I was numb. I couldn't, like, register everything that's taking place in front of my face, you know. I was just there like, okay, let's just see where this is going. And then I would just kind of, like, zoom in and zoom out and start praying. And I'm like, you know, when I see my cousin, Peter Jock, running around, I'm like, I would call on God and, like, God, help us. You know, I was, like, really excited, you know, so...
Is it the United States holds on for a win and South Sudan mere moments away from what would have been the biggest win in their country's history?
What do you think about all this new attention on South Sudan because of this basketball team? Now, you know, the name is out there, it's known because of the Olympics. What are you thinking, feeling about that?
For many people, it's like a compelling story because South Sudan is coming from a war-torn country that had a civil war that killed so many people. So the world was not anticipating that. But to most of these people, including myself as a South Sudanese, it was beyond a story.
Mm-hmm. Did it feel like you know your people's potential? Now the rest of the world is just getting to know it.
Absolutely. And that's something I've always told myself. One day, South Sudan, we will one day have our story being told. I mean, we have so many stories, so many lost stories that it's not just basketball. I mean, there's other things. And I always believe that one day South Sudan will make it to the world arena where they will know about this country, well, they will appreciate this country, where they will not just judge us based on what South Sudan has gone through, you know, being refugees. And there's nothing wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong being a refugee. But again, the stigma and we have more to show the world. The past is the past, things that we're going through. I hate the fact that we're focused so much on what we have gone through. I feel like we're not victims. Yes, we went through the worst of the worst. But I feel like we should step away from that and let the world know who we are for what we provide.
So, amazing moment for so many people. I think even us in the Sudanese community, it's just a very exciting moment for so many people.
People did not expect anything from us, to be honest with. Even us ourselves, we lost hope because of the internal conflicts happening within the country itself. But this time, I feel like basketball will be a way, like a vehicle to like unite everyone. And we have many different tribes in South Sudan. So this would be a great way for us as a nation to come together and put our differences aside.
So who is your favorite player?
My favorite, I have few, but my favorite, of course, is my cousin, Peter Jock. Not just because he's my cousin, but the fact that I am familiar with his story. I remember exactly when they first moved to America with his mom and his siblings. And being in the family, I know what they've been through. They lost their father at such a young age. His dad was one of the ones that lost their lives in South Sudan at the time during the Civil War. And then years later, he lost his grandpa. So I saw the struggle and I saw what they've been through, but I also saw the positive side of it. I saw he was raised by a strong woman. I mean, I saw his mom, someone who really enforced education, someone who really supported them. And when I first saw them, I knew these kids are destined for a great future.
What gives you hope?
First of all, it's the past, what we went through. And now that we have merged from that past, we have not lost hope. We are moving forward. And again, things like this, basketball, I see how much change or how much it changes the society. It brought so many people together in such a short time. So I know if we can continue in such a way, I feel like South Sudan will definitely make, it will be a very good impact.
The power of sport.
Power of sport, definitely. And I wish these politicians can actually pay attention and see it's not about negotiations. It's not about like, oh, ceasefire. Like the things that they're doing, like meetings. That's not what it is. What brings people together as a nation is things like this. They need to focus on the youth and see that these youth, they are the future of South Sudan or any other country. And we have to focus on implementing, like, what can we do to make them, you know, like, excited? Like, what can we do to bring them together? Mm. Yeah. And that will bring the nation together.
Mm-hmm. You're about to have a child and you have another child. What do you want? What would you tell them about being South Sudanese American?
One thing, we are a nation that is resilient. We are very strong, despite the things that we've gone through. We never give up. We love one another. I have a husband who's 7'2", so I'm assuming my children will not miss this whole basketball thing. I thought about it. I'm like, maybe we should name this child something, in honor of what took place recently with the South Sudanese team. But there's no female name that can, I don't know. I'm not going to call her Paris, but yeah.
Ooh.
No.
Really?
Not at all. No, not at all.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Hannah.
So I want to hear how you cheer for South Sudan.
First of all, I will go, ay-yoy-yoy-yoy-yoy. South Sudan way-yay. Bright star way-yay.
South Sudan way-yay.
Yes. South Sudan way-yay. Bright star way-yay. Giants of Africa way-yay.
That's San Jose entrepreneur Nyanwat Julia Baipat. She's from South Sudan. Hear more from our Diaspora Stories series at klw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. Many people have been glued to their screens keeping up with the Olympics. And in between videos of the world's most impressive athletes, you're likely to see one of those mouth-watering food videos that have captured our attention on social media since the very beginning. There are thousands of food content creators sharing recipes.
This is the recipe that got me to love shrimp. The shrimp is battered, fried to crispy golden perfection, and then tossed in a delicious sweet and spicy volcano sauce. To a saucepan, combine buffalo sauce, brown sugar, honey, garlic, and rice vinegar.
Recommendations.
This is everything I ate in Rome day 3 as a foodie, and I did my research so that you don't have to. I spent the morning at the Vatican, so I grabbed pizza at a nearby spot for lunch. They had Roman-style pizzas, and I don't know what they put in that crust, but it was so airy and chewy.
And restaurant reviews.
What's up, y'all? It's Boozy Brunch. I want to tell you about a hidden gem in plain sight called Saucy Oakland. Now, Saucy Oakland is relatively new, but I saw that they had a 4-course menu for Oakland Restaurant Week, so your girl had to check it out.
Reporter Steffi Puerto talks to two people who started making their YouTube videos on the Bay Area food scene and in the process transformed their lives.
I'm at Garden Cafe in Castro Valley with Victor Shea, his wife Karen, and cousin Terrence. We're sitting around two rectangular tables. There's laminated long menus that have Hong Kong Chinese style dishes with English translation. Victor is excited to order. He says he comes here quite a lot.
Like home?
Overall, a lot of like flavors.
Yeah, a lot of savory flavors here for sure.
Yeah. This is like comfort food.
But this isn't an ordinary lunch. Victor's here to work. He's a digital food content creator. Today, he's recording a video for his YouTube channel, Did You Eat Yet? Victor pans his camera over the restaurant menu as Karen sets up a small tripod at the edge of the table. They're gathering B-roll for a video he'll be editing at home. Victor, Karen, and Terrence talk about what they want to order. Hong Kong milk teas, salt and pepper fried tofu, pork chops baked over white rice, topped off with tomato sauce, and smothered in melted cheese. Slowly, the food arrives, and Victor keeps recording. Terrence uses his fork to lift up the perfect cheese pull from the baked pork chops, and Victor zooms in and out.
This is a Hong Kong cafe staple. It's a baked pork chop. It's like a tomato-based sauce on top. It's a baked pork chop, cheese, over rice.
Victor just seems to be in his element.
I'm just obsessed with food now, and now I just want to share stories about food.
And he does, on his page, Did You Eat Yet? It's only been going since July of 2023, but it already has over 13,000 subscribers.
Hey, did you eat yet? I'm Victor, and this is my new video series where I highlight food and the stories that come from it.
Victor was born in Oakland and grew up all around the East Bay. His grandma did a lot of the caregiving and all of the cooking. Victor says, growing up, he didn't really understand the significance of those meals. It was only when he traveled to places like Japan, Mexico City, and Texas that he really solidified his love for food.
That's when it's like, oh, there's like really good stuff out there.
He started falling in love with the rich flavors of Texas barbecue, asada cooked over carbon, and the fresh corn tortillas, in addition to the flavors of his Chinese roots. Feeling inspired, Victor created Did You Eat Yet? To share stories about the food he was discovering. He also wanted to shed light on the local food scene emerging out of COVID, not as a full-time job, but as a passion project.
These aren't food reviews. These aren't recipe videos. These are stories that I want to share from soaking in the diverse culture in this town through food.
One of his most popular videos would have to be his four-part taco tour series, where he visited different taco joints across Oakland's neighborhoods, Fruitvale, International and High Street, West Oakland, and East Oakland.
And I've been obsessed with tacos for a long time. A few years ago, I made it a goal of mine to hit up every single taco spot in Oakland. Since then, I've eaten way too many tacos.
So I'm like, what else is out there? You know, what other type of regional Mexican specialties are there, right?
Making the video series has also helped Victor rediscover the food scene in Castro Valley. He first lived here when he was in middle school, and all he remembers were fast food restaurants. Now, he's finding new local places that he loves because of the diversity in food that's growing in Castro Valley.
I moved back to Castro Valley again a few years ago, and it's almost unrecognizable from when I first moved here in the early 2000s. Sure, the general infrastructure of the town is still the same, but the people, the businesses, the demographic, it's changed a lot.
Victor says these videos aren't about gathering likes or becoming famous.
I'm not trying to influence anyone. You know, I'd say I'm trying to be more of a storyteller.
And his favorite videos are the ones he's filmed cooking with his parents.
Chinese people traditionally would eat dong during the Dragon Boat Festival, which falls on the fifth day of the fifth month of the lunar calendar.
Here, they're making dong, which is a Taishanese dish from the Guangdong province in China. It's made up of sticky rice wrapped in a banana leaf, stuffed with peanuts and pork. You can say they're like Chinese tamales. He says he encourages parents to speak Taishanese as it isn't commonly represented in media or pop culture. His parents came to the United States in the 80s, and they didn't assimilate or really learn English.
As we're growing up, there's always these like traditional Chinese dishes we wouldn't have. And at the time when we're kids, we don't understand why we're having them. And we're like, oh, we're having this, but you don't understand the significance of it. So in the video series, we kind of cover some of that.
Making the video has given Victor the chance to learn more about his roots and connect with his family.
The dishes I mentioned with my parents, it's like every time I have that now, in the future, even like, let's say, you know, 20, 30 years from now when my parents are gone, every time I have that dish, I'm still going to think about like, hey, we did this together.
Twenty minutes west of Castro Valley in Oakland, Wesley Wu is making fried rice in a giant wok. Vegetables and rice fly up and down with smoke filling up the air. He's the chef behind Wu Can Cook,
the inspiration for the Wu Can Cook channel itself kind of started. The very first recipe that I wrote was for this mapo tofu dish.
Mapo tofu is a dish that Wesley's grandmother made for him and one of the most memorable dishes from his childhood. He says mapo tofu is a ground pork that's slowly braised in soy sauce and chili paste.
Because it's Szechuan, it's got a lot of chili pepper in it because that's sort of the hallmark of Szechuan cuisine.
Wesley grew up in Marin County and is a professional musician. He got familiar with the digital landscape by uploading videos of his band, Trace Repeat, to YouTube. During COVID, with music venues closed, he started looking for the next thing. That's when he created a Reddit channel and began uploading videos.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Wu Can Cook. My name is Wesley, and this is a show where we are slowly cooking our way through all of the food from my childhood.
He quickly gained 20 million views on Reddit. He decided to transition to YouTube to create longer and more detailed steps to his cooking videos.
So then when the YouTube channel started getting really popular, then people started asking where they could like find the food that I was cooking, which I had never really considered before. So I started looking into like different ways that I could feasibly do that without having a huge overhead to like cover basically a restaurant space.
His YouTube videos led to viewers asking, where can we buy your food? And then he remembered about his days as a performer, how event spaces would always have food.
And I noticed that like everywhere that you see live music, you also see food. Like you see food and you see booze.
With only a $2,000 investment, Wu Can Cook hit its first pop-up event at the Alameda Antique Fair. Knowing what he could make in a walk, Wesley decided fried rice would be his specialty.
And then I remember very shortly after that, I had the idea of like, well, what if we stick it in a burrito? And that's where the fried rice burrito comes from.
And now he has a space at the Prescott Market Hall in West Oakland, scheduled to open in late 2024. Wesley wants his restaurant to have the vibe of a Taiwanese night market. Wesley didn't think that uploading those first videos would lead to him opening up a brick-and-mortar restaurant. Just like Victor Shea, didn't know his YouTube channel would bring him closer to his Taishanese roots. For both guys, food content is more than just uploading videos. It's a way to share their history around food. And in the process, it changed their lives. In the East Bay, I'm Steffi Puerto for Cross Currents.
Steffi reported that story as part of this year's Audio Academy. Find all her work at klw.org/crosscurrents. Tomorrow morning at 11, we'll hike out on the trail and ask, what is wilderness?
To have a place that's allowed to change and evolve and undergo that its natural evolution. But that is really not what we're seeing with wildfire in California and with these impacts to these sequoia groves.
It's our new series, How Wild, tomorrow morning at 11. Today's Cross Currents team includes Michaela Sia, Christopher Alam, Hussein Khan, James Rollins, Ganadi Joe Johnson, Victor Tense, Shirin Adil, Angela Johnston, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, Sunni Khalid, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.